Like, I don't care what Hollywood says. I don't care what Washington says. I don't care what anyone says. I know this. The word of God is true. Like, period. End of discussion. Don't need to debate it. I don't need to pray about it. The word of God is true. The word of God is what has changed my life. The word of God is what is continuing to change my life through sanctification. We don't have to bring in Oprah and Dr. Phil and everyone else from the world. We got the word of God. It's more than enough. You don't have to get up every morning and turn on social media to get a fix, to feel good about yourself. Go to the word of God. Don't add to it, don't take away. It's the word.
Welcome to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. It is a joy to have you listening today, and we pray that you will be encouraged, challenged, and motivated to live for God like never before. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor John Couch.
Hey, this is John Couch with This Day Ministries. Thanks so much for tuning in to This Day in the Word. Let's take our Bibles together right now, and let's turn to Proverbs chapter 30, looking at verse 6, as we listen to the first part of the message entitled, The High Cost of Tampering with God's Word.
Father, we come before you in the stillness of this room. God, you are great, and you are greatly to be praised. God, I'm asking with great expectation that you do something powerful in the next few minutes. God, I pray that we would be that church that is ready for the groom. And so, God, whatever it is that's standing in the way of us and you, whatever it is today that we hold more dearly, God, would you exterminate it from our lives today? God, I pray you'd move every idol, not just to a different shelf, but God, I pray that you would rid us of all of our idols. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would guide and lead us today like never before. And God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable to you, my Lord, my rock, and my Redeemer. God, hide me behind the shadows of the cross. Let us just see you today, afresh and new. Bring revival. Bring revival. Bring the fire today, God. And God, will be quick. And we will insist that you receive all the praise and all the glory. And we pray this in the mighty, in the matchless name of the King, the King, who conquered sin and death, and the grave is forever empty. We pray this in the name that's above every name, that on that day, whether they like it or not, every knee, yes, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Oh God, we give you the praise now. Do the work that only you can do. God, I pray we'll leave this place today simply shouting and proclaiming, surely the presence of the Lord is in that place. Do the work and do it now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your Bible and turn to Proverbs chapter 30, If you're in Proverbs chapter 32, you've went a little too far. For you theologians, you understand there's not a Proverbs 32. Proverbs chapter 30, I'm going to be focusing on one verse today. I'm going to read several in context to set this up. Aren't you glad, by the way, as we sang earlier, that our sin, not in part, but the whole, has been nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It is well with my soul. Amen. That's a hallelujah moment that we can rejoice in the holy written word of God that gives us life. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 1, the words of Agur says this, the words of Agur, son of Jacob, the oracle, the man declares, listen closely to what he says next. I am weary, O God, I am weary, O God, and worn out. Verse 2, surely I am too stupid to be a man. I have not the understanding of a man. I have not learned wisdom, nor have I have knowledge of the Holy One. Look at these next questions in verse 4. Who has ascended to heaven and come down? Who has gathered the wind in his fists? Who has wrapped up the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name? Now listen to these next two verses. Surely you know. Every word of God is pure, proves true. He is a shield to those who take their refuge in Him. Now here's our verse for today, verse 6. Do not add to His words, lest He rebuke you and you be found a liar. The title of the message today is simply this. I pray you're taking notes. The high cost of tampering with God's Word. The title today is the high cost of tampering with God's Word. I can give you the cliff notes on the front end, and I guess I'll give them to you. You mess with God's Word, and there's serious consequences. God's Word is precious to Him. Jesus is the Word. God says that there will be no other gods, little g, before me. What today is standing between you and God and Him having total dominion and control over you? What is it today that you're struggling with? What secret sin? What attitude of the heart that has embedded into your life, that has taken root? And God wants to, as we sung, graciously break you. That's kind of a contradiction in terms in the flesh, isn't it? I mean, you think about getting broken, you don't think there's a lot of grace going on there, do you? Now, there's something loving about God. For who the Lord loves, He does what? He chastens. There's a gracious breaking. That's sanctification, really, if you think about it, ongoing change. We are graciously being changed, being conformed to the image of Christ, Romans 8:29. And as God does the work that only He can do in your life and my life, I don't know where you are today, but I know this, that God's breaking me. He's continuing to reveal my sin, my wickedness. Because we'll never experience revival and awakening in the American church unless the American church begins to repent. And we'll never see a move of God unless we begin to be broken. I travel to churches all over and I'll ask the question, who wants to see revival and all the hands go up? And then I ask, well, who wants to get broken? And not a whole lot of hands go up. The words of Agur, verse 6, powerful. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. The context, as we read here, is intriguing. Agur comes out of the gate and he's like, you know, I'm pretty stupid. Doesn't sound overly promising. I don't have a whole lot of understanding. And then he takes the microscope, if you will, and he goes from that to, but I want you to look at God. Matter of fact, I've already looked at God unwittingly because when I see how stupid I am, how lacking of understanding I am, I'm really looking at how great God is. And he goes on to say, who's gathered the wind in his fists? He goes on through this dialogue of these first four verses and he shows the mightiness, the greatness, the awesomeness of God. Let me ask you a question this morning. When is the last time you trembled in the presence of God? When is the last time you've trembled in the presence of God? You're so awesome. God, I don't want business as usual. I don't want to show up on Sunday morning and it's just business as usual. God, I don't want to get up and read a few verses and say a flimsy prayer and then go on with my agenda and my day and what I got planned and then drag you along to bless what I got planned for my life. I don't want to have you, God, be my divine butler any longer. No more cosmic Santa Claus. No more vending machine Christianity, if you will. Do not add to his words. We live in a culture where adding to God's word, subtracting from God's word, is the norm. But it doesn't have to be that way, and it shouldn't be that way inside the church. We must stand on the word of God. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of my God will stand forever. Even if the whole world goes off into deception, oh, we must be the bride, the church that says we're going to stand tall for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because people are hurting. They're dying in their pain. They're suffering in silence. We have the answer. We have the greatest cure for the greatest cancer, which is sin, and his name, the cure, is, forever will be, is Jesus.
You're listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. All of Pastor Couch's messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. In addition, you can share your prayer requests with us via email. Our email address for prayer requests is prayer@thisdayministries.org. That's prayer@thisdayministries.org. And now, back to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch.
Do not add. It simply means this, to, in the Hebrew, to join to increase. Here a guru is saying, look, don't add anything. You look at verse 5 and it says this, that every word of God is pure. It's proven true. You don't have to add to something that's pure. If you look at that word pure in the original language, the Hebrew, you see this, and that is this, that it's pure and that there's not a trace of falsehood. Like, I don't care what Hollywood says. I don't care what Washington says. I don't care what anyone says. I know this. The Word of God is true. Like, period. End of discussion. Don't need to debate it. I don't need to pray about it. The Word of God is true. The Word of God is what has changed my life. The Word of God is what is continuing to change my life through sanctification. We don't have to bring in Oprah and Dr. Phil and everyone else from the world. We got the Word of God. It's more than enough. You don't have to get up every morning and turn on social media to get a fix, to feel good about yourself. Go to the Word of God. Don't add to it. Don't take away. It's the Word. Key number one in your notes, I encourage you to write this down. Key number one, the blinding power of sin will tempt us to add to God's Word to fit our agenda. Let me say that again. Key number one, the blinding, don't miss that, the blinding, it's blinding, it's deceitful. It seduces us, is what it means there in the original language in the Greek when Paul says that you've been deceived. The blinding power of sin will tempt us to add to God's Word to fit our agenda. Have you ever been reading Scripture? Don't lie, you're in church, don't lie. But you're reading Scripture and like you come across a verse and you're like, ooh, wow, that one hurt. We tend to focus on the verses that don't hurt, right? We're dogmatic. Now we're going, amen, amen, preach it, preacher, go, go, go. And then he opens up a verse that greatly hurts. I'm like, ooh, I don't want to go there. Every word of God is pure, it's proven true. We are instructed. By the way, this is not a suggestion, this is a command. When you remove truth from a culture, when you remove truth from an entity, an organization, especially a church, you have now signed the death certificate on that organization. You look at the cultures all around the world that have said, yeah, you know, we understand, God, that you wrote this, blah, 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 blah. We don't like it. It goes against our flesh. We're going to go our own way and continue to kick you in the shins. Man, you can study civilization after civilization that is no more. I think the challenge is because God doesn't zap us with a lightning bolt that we go, he must be okay with this. No, God is never okay with my sin. He's never okay with my wickedness. I can't add to it because these are a few things I wrote in my quiet time and maybe you can resonate with it. Just listen. I put this, when we add to God's Word, we are saying that God's Word is not enough. When we add to God's Word, we are living in disobedience. When we add to God's Word, we are saying that we have lost confidence in the Word of God because it goes against what our flesh craves to do. See, the question today is, are we Bible-centric or are we self-centric? We live in the selfie generation, right? And we take pictures, and again, there's nothing inherently evil about taking a selfie. But just think about the whole concept. That's the enemy as an overarching theme in our culture, to put all the focus on self. And God says, no, the focus is not on self. The focus is on me and my glory. That you lift me up. That when I'm high and lifted up, I will draw men unto myself. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but what? But God gave the increase. May we be faithful. We be obedient. Marketing gimmicks come and go. The Word of my God will stand forever. Think about all the religions right now around the world that you know, take a portion of God's Word and then they add their own book to it. Not a good road to go down. Because every word of God is pure. It's proven. He's a shield. He's a refuge to those who do refuge in Him. Do not add to His words, lest He rebuke you and you be found a liar. Write these supporting verses down in your notes. Deuteronomy 4:2. Listen to what the Word of God says. You shall not add to the word that I have commanded you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you. Deuteronomy 4:2. New Testament, Revelation, all the way to the back, right before the book of maps. Look at this. Revelation 22:18-19. Stern warning. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to them, okay, here we go, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. I don't know how much more plain that can get. I mean, this is serious. We see denominations that are driving off spiritual cliffs, that are literally saying, you know what, this doesn't fit my agenda and what I want to do, so guess what, we're going to form a whole new entity so that we can drag a bunch of other people over the cliff. Not on my watch. And I pray not on your watch either. You say, man, that's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. You're going to be persecuted. Yes. Yes, this is what you signed up for. Yes. That's what I tell my children. This is what you signed up for. Because here's the reality. Heaven is not here. Heaven's there. We get it convoluted, don't we? We think, well, heaven must be here. No, it's not. This is a broken, depraved, sinful, fallen world. And the enemy, he masquerades as a cosmopolitan of light. He appears to be truth. But we know he's not. Think about how far we've fallen in some of our institutions. Harvard, any Harvard grads in the room? Harvard grads? Any Harvard grads? No Harvard grads? Oh, I was hoping there's at least one here. No Harvard grads. I'm not either, so we're in good company. I somehow passed the SAT. Like, I know that's amazing, you know what I mean? Somehow, I don't know how, by the grace of God. Listen just closely to the founding mission statement for Harvard University in 1643. Let every student be plainly instructed and earnestly pressed to consider well that the main end of his life and studies is to know God and Jesus Christ, which is eternal life, John 17:3. And therefore, to lay Christ in the bottom as the only foundation of all sound knowledge and learning, period, end quote. Heaven, we got a problem that Houston can't solve. And passively sitting on our hands, afraid that someone's going to make fun of us for this Jesus, no longer works. We're going to be like Paul, and I'm determined to know nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That I've been bought with the most precious blood that's ever been shed. Therefore, my life is no longer my own. See, I think that's the struggle so many times in the American church is we got a bunch of people that raised a hand, said a prayer, did a cartwheel, jumped out of the balcony, got wet, but their life is still their own. What is the high cost for tampering with God's word? Two things for sure from Scripture in this verse. Number one, lest he rebuke you. By show of hands, did anyone get up this morning going, "Ooh, I can't wait for God to rebuke me today"? Yeah, me neither. Me neither. And yet he still does it, doesn't he? Why? Because of this wicked, sinful flesh I live in. I do the things I don't want to do. And I struggle. And the sin that it so easily besets us and it so easily lies close at hand. When you and I add to God's word to fit our agenda, to really just to fit our sin nature, number one is he's going to rebuke us. This rebuke means this in the Hebrew, to reprove, to correct, to judge, to convict, and yes, to chasten. That's why key number two in your notes, write it down. Key number two. The consequence of rebuke is sure to follow for tampering with God's word, period. The consequence of rebuke is sure to follow for tampering with God's word. God is jealous and he is protective of his glory. We may think that, okay, if we add to his word here to fit our agenda and we skip over this verse and we take away from this one, that again, no lightning bolts, there's nothing really going on. Hey, I'm still being blessed. He must be okay. Trust me on this from personal experience. He's not okay. He is storing up wrath for the day to come. As one person said, we're going through what they believe to be God's right now passive judgment. That he's restraining himself. But there's going to be a day where he's going to cut that cord, if you will. That it's being pent up. Picture that. Paint a picture in your life right now that God's wrath, yes, he's a God of grace, he's of mercy, but he didn't execute his only son so that we could go achieve the American dream. Like he didn't mar his son beyond recognition so that, you know, you could have the house you always wanted and drive the car you've always wanted. No, he gave you life abundantly and free for this purpose that now your life has changed and you can go make a difference in the lives around you. I mean, otherwise, don't we just get saved and poof, we go off to glory? This rebuke, it's in the both the Old and the New Testaments. We always think of God being mean in the Old and loving in the New, right? Jeremiah, write it down, 2:19. Jeremiah 2:19. Your evil will chastise you, and your apostasy will reprove you. Know and see that it is evil and bitter for you to forsake the Lord your God. The fear of me is not in you, declares the Lord God of hosts. The light and the darkness collide, don't they? Like if when you walk in truth and you cast the truth onto the table, rest assured, the truth always divides the room. Always. And men love darkness rather than light. Why? How do we know? What's the scripture say? Because their deeds were what? Evil. Isn't it amazing how you can go out to, if you drive down like Dale Mabry and all the clubs and you drive down there at noon and it's like, it's a ghost town, right? You happen through there at midnight, 12 hours later, and you think the entire population of Tampa lives there. There's something about darkness, right? We're undercover, and no one's going to find out, no one's going to see. Oh, rest assured on this, rest assured on this. Our sin, my sin, your sin will always find us out.
You've been listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Don't forget that all of these messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. In addition, if you have been blessed by the teaching of God's Word during This Day in the Word, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is info@thisdayministries.org. Thanks again for listening as we strive to honor Christ and impact our world as we spend this day in the Word.